Today's episode of the podcast is a quite sad one. We just received some really hard news about one of our dogs and are navigating the end of their life right now. So this is a podcast episode about our love for animals, about death, about saying goodbye, and how so strangely saying goodbye is very connected with how we said hello and invited them into our hearts in the first place. So this one is definitely for all the animal lovers out there, but a little bit of a trigger warning that we talk about death today. Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural, uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Let's jump in. Hello, my friends. Hi. Welcome back to the show. I have been procrastinating recording this podcast all day. Literally, all, you know you have something to get to, but for whatever reason, you just don't get there. I keep picking up little projects and things around the house and oh, I got to answer this email I forgot. And then, oh yeah, I was doing this. And then I realized I have been baking bread since yesterday morning. I'm in a big sourdough phase now, and my sourdough, like, it takes me about 24 hours to get a finished loaf. And then I realized I started that process yesterday and I completely forgot. So I picked that back up and I'm just like avoiding coming here. And the reason I am avoiding coming here is because I am sad. Yeah. And now I'm crying. Yeah, I'm sad. We got some really, really sad news today, and I'm still processing and still kind of digesting what this means. But I guess we'll start right there. So we have dogs. I'm telling you this as if we just met. You've never, ever spoken to me in your life, right? You have no clue. We have dogs. Obviously, we have dogs. Most of you, you know we have dogs. We have three dogs. We used to have four. Pepper, who was mine and Dennis's first dog that we got together, passed away a long time ago now. It's going to be 10 years next year. It's weird because the anniversary of his passing is very close to the anniversary of our wedding. He passed right after we came back from our honeymoon after our wedding, and it's almost a decade. Oh, it's crazy how time flies. Doesn't feel that way. Doesn't feel like we lost him 9 years ago. Feels like yesterday, you know. And that's the thing about animals. It's like the thing about dogs in particular. And I don't want to say like dogs are more special than other animals. I mean, for cat people, for you, it's cats. I will never understand you because I don't get cats.
But, you know, we all have our one, or a lot of us anyway, of animal lovers have our one deep connection to some kind of animal. And for us, for me, it's always been dogs, always, my whole life. For as long as I can remember, it was the longing for a dog, wanting to have a dog. And then, yeah, when I was, how old was I when I got Keela? I must have been 20 when I got my first one. So I got Keela, I was 20 years old, 20, oh, maybe 19. Maybe I hadn't even turned 20 yet. Picked her up off the streets. It's a fun, crazy story. Actually, I stole her. Okay, I was a thief who stole. I made an emergency rescue, her and her little brother. They were just a few weeks old. It was like a whole mess. But yes, I did steal to save her from horrible circumstances. But yes, I did steal her as a 20-year-old from just the horrible conditions she was living under. But I'll save that story for another day. But anyway, so now, since Pepper passed, we have three dogs. We have Ringo, and we have Keela, and we have Laika. And Keela was my dog that I had before I met Dennis. Laika was Dennis's dog that he had before he met me. And then Ringo, we got together after we had had Pepper for a couple of years. And they're getting old. Like, it hurts me to say it. And we all know, every dog person out there, every person who has a dog knows, the moment you make that decision, I'm going to get this dog, whether you are stealing one from the streets or picking one up at the pound or buying one, like however you get, you got your dog. Like, the moment you make that commitment, like, that is a soul commitment to a being who will enrich your life and bring so much love and unconditional joy into your world for a strangely short time. Right? It doesn't feel like that at the time. When we get a dog, it feels like a forever thing. You know, it's like, this is a new family member, which it becomes. But dogs, like, they already have a timestamp on. Like, there's already like a clock ticking on that relationship the moment you get a dog, which is somehow, I think, part of what makes that relationship so beautiful and so special. And like, we get a certain amount of years with this love, and then that's it. But somehow, I think the way most of us navigate the end of that relationship, where we navigate death, is like, it's in the back of our consciousness somewhere as something we know one day will come. But we don't have to spend our days thinking about that, right? It's not like we're obsessing over death all the time, or ideally, hopefully, no. But yeah, so our dogs are getting old. Like, Ringo, who is our little Italian greyhound, who is our baby. Like, literally, he's our little baby. We treat him like a baby. We hold him like a baby. We sleep with him, snuggled in between us like a little baby. He acts like a baby. Like, he is going to turn 10 this year, which I can't wrap my head around that he's going to be 10 years old in April, which is just insane. And Keela and Laika are, I mean, Laika, she turned 14 in November of last year, so she's almost 14 and a half, 14 and whatever, 3 months, 4 months. And Keela is going to turn 14 now next month. So they're up there, right? 14 and a half, like, that's an age. It's a lot of years, especially for a medium kind of big sized dog as she is. And anyone who's ever been to our house, like, Laika is the kind of dog who makes an impression. And it's not always a good impression. like she is something. Like, she has a really particular, peculiar, intense personality. She is the fiercest, like, one of the fiercest beings I have ever had the privilege to be around in my life. She will not take shit from anybody. Walking her on a leash And it's always been this case. And I like to kid myself that things got better. We really worked on it. No, it didn't get better. Like we worked with trainers and dog psychologists and did all the things. Like walking her on a leash, if we pass another dog on a leash, she's going to bark that dog down. Like she's going to yell at that dog from across the road. But if she actually gets to meet that dog, chances are she's going to be super happy and act like a puppy and want to play. But from afar, on a leash, like, don't you dare. Don't you dare cross the street and come over here. Like, she's a pain, like, in the ass to have around other dogs in that way, and always has been. And now, she never grew up in a city. She never had that routine where, like, she's on a leash and we're in the city or we're going to restaurants or, you know, she never had that life ever. Like, she lived on the North Shore with us in Aruba, where she was off leash most of the time in our little dead end street, or walking her on leash on the North Shore, where there's just vast expanse of nothingness, you know, like not so much interaction with anybody. And then she's been home, you know, she's never traveled. She hasn't, aside from the big move, like moving from Aruba to Sweden, which was a really big deal. Yeah, Laika has been in nature and at home. Which is different, you know, if I compare to Ringo, for instance, who traveled with us everywhere because he was so small. He could always come in a little carrier with us. Who knows how to like cross the street and how to navigate things and social interactions and stuff. And like, it just hasn't had that. And she's very, very alpha. Like, she very much wants to be in the lead and be in charge. And she's so fierce. She has this strange warrior energy. I don't know, anyone who's ever visited our house, like she does this thing when she gets really excited and she sees people that she gets excited to hang out with, is she smiles. So she will like look up at you and she will show all her teeth and she almost looks guilty. She does the same smile if she's guilty about something, if she's done something bad, like she does this guilty smile, but she also does that smile when she's really, really excited. And people can get really scared of her because it looks like she's showing her teeth, like she's, you know, like she's growling or something, which she will do at the other dogs a lot. Like, she doesn't like it when we give another dog too much attention. Like, if I go to one of the other dogs, she immediately comes up and she wants to take that attention. She wants to be in the center. She wants to be the one who's pet the most. And she's also really, like, she's so much the boss of the pack and the boss of the house that if one of the other dogs does something that she doesn't like, which could be like they're approaching us at the dinner table, she doesn't like that. She thinks when we are eating at the table, like everyone should be in their beds behaving. So when Keela or Ringo will like walk up to us because they're like, something delicious is on the table, she'll growl at them and really growl and like show her teeth and be like, go back to bed, kind of thing. Like, she's just so, yeah, she has this very, like, this very old energy about her.
Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I am faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
The day before yesterday, one of my best friends spent the night here and we woke up early and sat in tea ceremony for a while. And we always sit in silence, like we drink our first three bowls, always in silence, just candles lit and, you know, snow on the ground outside and some beautiful music playing. We're just sitting there with our tea quietly. And Laika comes in and she takes her place at the table the way she does. You know, she's never like in the background quietly, like she's like, I'm here. And sits down and then lies down. And I was just drinking my tea, just looking at her, feeling her energy really intensely. And I almost started to cry because I felt so, like all of a sudden, I felt so blessed to have had her in my life for this long. And I got this vision of, maybe when I give birth to this baby boy, like I have a feeling she's going to be this protector energy for me at home, which I know she was with Leia. Like I remember her just being very, very present there, but I wasn't interacting with her. I wasn't engaging with her. She was just kind of like Dennis would tell me afterwards, like if I went from room to room, she would follow. She was just like making sure everything was okay. And I had this feeling now that I think she's going to be very present for birth. I think she's going to be really there, like really, really, really in a, I don't know, like in a, it just felt like she has a role there. So I almost started to cry, drinking my tea, looking at her. And I had this feeling like she's almost doula-like in her energy somehow. And she's had her health struggles lately. We had a big health scare with her last year. We know she has arthritis, she has pain in her back, in her spine, and in her hips. And she's had for a long time, not severe. I haven't thought of it as severe because she doesn't limp. Whenever we go outside, she still wants to bolt and run and she acts like a puppy. And so I've just been thinking it's like old age kind of thing. You know how you get a little stiffer in the joints when you get older. She doesn't, you know, wince or complain or cry, like not like showing big signs of pain. But then last year out for a walk, all of a sudden she had a spasm. She had like a seizure of some sort in her back legs and couldn't walk. And we brought her into the emergency vet and the vet was so, like it was a really heavy experience, was so certain, like this is the end of this dog's life. You should really start thinking about putting this dog down. And I was in shock. I was like, what? Like, I know she's, you know, she was 13, like she's going to be 14, but like, this is a dog who eats, you know, two full meals a day. She takes normal poops and pees and will run forever if you let her. And like, she has so much energy to live. A zest for life. She has a real zest for life. I don't sense in her at all this, like, you know, that the pain is so severe that she shouldn't go on living. Like, I have not had that feeling from her at all. And the vet was like, well, we can try this new medication. You can see if this works. And so we did that, but kind of started thinking, oh, maybe this is her last year with us, which is not something I was consciously thinking about. We always joke, like, she's going to outlive us all. Like, she's just going to be the one who's around forever because she's so strong and so solid. And yeah, so we started her on that medication and it really worked. And she's been on that medication since. And she also gets a shot now for her arthritis every single month, which also makes a big difference. And she's just had so much, I don't know, so much life over the past few months. And then a few days ago, this is like in the past week, I started noticing a lower pace in her, that all of a sudden she's sleeping a lot more, that she's, yeah, pacing less, walking around less, slower to get to the door, that she could just like spend most of the day really sleeping. And dogs sleep a lot, but she's like sleeping more than normal. And I've been kind of telling Dennis, like, I don't know if this is, I feel like something in her system is slowing down, really slowing down. And she still has that same zest for life and excitement when we go for walks. But it's like after a walk, she's out for the day. She's sleeping the rest of the day kind of thing. And so right after we had that tea ceremony, which was the day before yesterday, we went for a walk. My friend and I, we took all the dogs, put their collars on, get ready. And we do this thing every single time we leave the house. I don't leash them until we are at the edge of our property. So they always have like our property, the land here is their free space to roam and to run and to go wherever they want. And Laika normally gets so excited to get outside, and it's snowing now. Like, we have a lot of fresh snow on the ground, which they love. Ringo hates it, but the girls really love it. And she gets the zoomies. Like, she gets so excited. You know, the zoomies, when like a dog goes completely bananas, and she will spin in circles around herself and just bolt from one end to the other of the lawn. She's just like, she'll run in circles. And she'll do that, but normally, like the past couple of months, she doesn't do that for a very long time. It's like a short burst of really happy, excited energy where she's just so happy to be alive and outside. And it's the most joyful thing to see. It really is. And she does that. And I've been thinking in the past weeks, I was like, maybe I shouldn't let her do that anymore. Like, there's going to be a point where maybe that's not safe for her, or maybe that starts to hurt her more. But then, like, I talked to Dennis about it, and he's like, well, this is her like peak moment of joy. You know, like, why would we take that away? Like, it didn't make sense. Like, this is just such a joyful thing for her. And she's fine. Like, we haven't seen any reason why that's not. Yeah. But I had that feeling. And I guess that was kind of a little bit of intuition, I guess. So day before yesterday, we go outside, she bolts and she's so happy. And I was like taking up my phone to film her because I just love having those moments on film because they're so joyful. And she slips. And I guess there was some ice underneath the patch of snow. I don't know. She was just going too fast. I don't know, but she slipped. And she cries. And just like her whole like back leg gives out from beneath her, and she couldn't get back up. So I get Dennis, who carries her inside, and it's like the moment is over, she doesn't cry anymore. She doesn't show that she's in pain. She doesn't say that she's in pain, but now it's really, really obvious she's in severe pain. And we go back inside. She could kind of put a little bit of pressure on her foot, not a lot, but a little bit. So I called the vet right away, and the vet was really calm. The vet was like, well, if the leg is floating completely, not, you know, like really she can't put any pressure on it, then I would suggest you come in right away. But if she's already like putting some pressure on it, like this could just be like a little tear, a little muscle thing, chances are you'll see her putting more pressure on it tomorrow, and then the next day it's even better. But I'll find you a time. Like, we're really swamped this week, but could you come Thursday morning? And I was thinking, this is something we should like rush in to look at right away. But then a few hours passed and she was right. Like, she's putting more pressure on the leg already. She seems to be like, oh, it's something that's going to get better. So we didn't go right away. I didn't freak out and panic and went like, oh my God, we have to go to the emergency room. Like, it really, I don't know. We took it really easy, which I'm kind of regretting now, or really regretting now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So today the time comes, we have this appointment, and Dennis takes her. And she's in so much pain. Like, she has arrived at like some kind of abnormal state of pain that her hip was dislocating, and then the vet is putting it back into place, and she didn't wince. She didn't even move. She didn't say anything. And then her leg would like dislocate again. And then they had to do that several times to like get her leg back in place. And she didn't say a word. And the vet said, like, this is not okay. Like, this is not normal. This level of pain, the fact that she's not reacting to this at all, means that she's in a level of overwhelm. Like, a dislocated hip doesn't hurt her more than the state of pain she's already in. like you have to, like it's time to say goodbye, basically. And this is for me is like, it's really, really hard. I mean, it's extra hard because she's so happy. She's really so happy. And it's like she has not grown old, right? She's not the one who's, it's like her body is giving up, but she hasn't at all. Like she has not, like I don't get that resignation from her, you know? And I kind of really thought that when the time is right, like she's going to give us a sign. Like she's going to tell us something's going to happen. And then I said, well, I guess this was it. Like she had that one last, like really excited run. And then like, this is it. Like her body just can't do it anymore. But I just don't get that. I don't get that feeling from her spirit at all. And then it's just asked, like, this is a lot. Like he was all alone. And my best friend is about to give birth any moment. And had to go for this thing at the hospital. Everything's fine. But I was like in the car kind of rushing to be with her. So I was like, okay, you take I thought they were going to maybe adjust her pain medication, or worst case, they're going to be like, she needs surgery or something. We'll have options. We'll talk about what this is. Or maybe like, this is already healing. She's going to be fine. But I did not expect them to basically want to put her down like today. And then he said, this is, you know, we have a 5-year-old, like there's no way Leia can come home from school and like is not there. Like that's just like unimaginable. You know, so he said, like, I would really love to have a last day with her and just some time to process this. And, you know, can we give her pain medication now to manage more of the pain so we can take her home and be with her and then take her to the, because they wanted us to go to a bigger clinic in a bigger city. And then they said, they might say that there's something that they can do, or they might have a surgery to recommend, or, you know, but he's like, to put a 14 and a half year old dog like through surgery, it's like, I don't see that as a really viable option, but maybe they will have more options. Like this is just one opinion, right? Maybe they have a bunch of things to do. Maybe this is not going to be the case. But looking at her now, it's like, she has a hard time walking. And it doesn't look good. Right? Doesn't feel good. Doesn't, like, no. Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of hours, but probably this is our last few days with her. And it's really hard. It's really, 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 really hard. And I'm recording this on a Thursday. I'm going to pick Leia up from school right after this. And I'm going to have to tell her that it's time for us to start saying goodbye. You know, and we've kind of talked about this on and off since last year, just starting to prepare her more for the fact that, like, the dogs are going to die. And Laika is the one who's the oldest, and Laika has pain. And so back then when we didn't know, is it going to be soon or now, I was really trying to prepare her and kind of walk her through the process and everything. But we haven't talked about that in a couple months now. It's been a long time. You know, this is going to be a huge shock to her. So our plan now is, maybe this is her last evening. Like maybe this is her last night. I hope it's not. I hope we can get the weekend with her. Of course, I'm not going to put her through unbearable pain so we can have, just for the sake of a longer goodbye, you know, but if the vet tomorrow says it's okay, then I would love to have a few more days and just, yeah, she gave us such a long life, right? She gave us so much. And it just feels unimaginable to go see a vet and then go home without her. Like, that doesn't seem
that can't be right. You know, that doesn't work. And I was talking to Dennis, not because at the end of the day, it's Dennis's decision somehow. Like she's our dog, but he had her first, you know, and I want just this final decision to really, yeah, feel as okay with him as it possibly can. And I think it would be much less stressful, and I think much less strange if we could be home. Like my brother put his dog down in the summer. I shared that on the pod. I think we have a couple episodes. It was very heavy. Oh my God. Even thinking about that, I was thinking about that today, just driving home after I got the news. I haven't really revisited that day, just even in my mind or in my heart, of my brother putting his dog down. It was just the three of us there with the vet because it was so heavy. It really was. It was so beautiful and it was so hard. It was so, so beautiful and so horrible all at the same time. And part of that was also just like holding my brother's grief and watching someone you love so much go through the worst day of their life. You know, there's so many layers to that pain and to that grief. But I was thinking about that today and just like, wow, like that was a really big thing that happened this summer. And I haven't fully processed it because it's still so tender to think about, you know, like I have photos from that day that I've never looked at. Yeah, just because it's a lot, you know. And then I came home and we were talking about it, like what would be the best way to honor her? Like what is the best way to really, is there a best way to end someone's life? You know, it's also so strange that with a dog or with an animal, it's like, it's up to us in the end, right? It's also so bizarre, yet makes sense. And what would that look like? And Dennis said, he said, I don't want Leia to be there for the actual moment. I think it's scary. And when I was there with my brother for that actual moment, actually, it wasn't scary. I think she could be there for that moment, but I think also he's probably right in that maybe it's too overwhelming. So I thought, okay, well, what if we set up a beautiful, beautiful space somewhere in the living room and make it really precious and special, and let the dog say goodbye, and then Leia and I, like we're all there up until that very end point, and then I can take Leia and go upstairs or go for a walk with the other dogs or do something, and then Dennis is the one who's there for the final moment. Yeah. And it's almost like it's so crazy to think of that first meeting, right? That first like moment of bringing a dog into the family, that solidifies the fact that there's going to be this last moment too. And that's really fucked up. Like when you really think about it, it's like we already know we're going to have this last horrible moment. The moment we say yes. And then they get to bring us so much joy. Like a life without a dog, what kind of life is that? A house without a dog? I can't imagine it. Coming home and then no one's there to greet you. You know, it's just, yeah. I would love to bury her here on this land, you know, somewhere close to the water or somewhere she loved to run. But because it's winter time and a burial here is, yeah, impossible. Probably we'll cremate. And then I said, well, maybe we sprinkle her ashes in Aruba the next time we go. You know, that would also make sense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But so, yeah, that's happening now. And I guess that feeling I had a couple days ago of, wow, I think she's going to be really present for this birth. Maybe it's not in the way I was expecting it, you know. Maybe, yeah, maybe instead of by my side, like maybe she'll be a spiritual companion instead. And that's beautiful too. And as I say that, the baby just kicked me really hard. Really, really hard. Like this baby, how he moves, it's pretty common that I'll have a big feeling about something or a big thought, or I say something and he kind of like, boom, all of a sudden out of the blue, big kick. It feels like little affirmations from the inside somehow. What a year. It's so, yeah, so strange to have birth and death so linked. But of course, that is what it is. When I was 40 weeks pregnant with Leia, which my best friend Olivia, she's 40 weeks pregnant now. She's, yeah, her due date, which I say with little air quotes, is in a couple days. And we were talking about that today, just how for me with Leia, the birth was so linked with the death of my best friend, my friend Andrea, who passed away a little bit before. And just in those, that time when I was so longing for the birth, and if it just felt like a long transition, I really felt like I was walking between life and death somehow, like that veil between was very, very thin. And like I could speak to her in ways I couldn't before, like when I was pregnant, like somehow because we're carrying someone unborn, it's like we have a little portal to the other world somehow. Like I really felt that way. And for me, the death of my friend was so connected to the birth of my first baby. I was convinced she was going to be born on the day of her death. Convinced. Andrea died March 10th. And I think she was due sometime February 20-something. Can't remember. 27, 26. Yeah, she was due the same day Olivia's due. So I guess, yeah, 25th maybe. Which is really funny. Like it's really, yeah, synchronistic. But then that day passed and I really was like, okay, I thought babies come on their due date, right? And I thought she would be early. And so that wait was just really long after that. And I was in agony and it was so heavy. And then I realized like, oh, she's waiting because she's going to arrive on Andrea's death day. Like a day that was all dark and horrible, traumatic, is now going to be a day of birth. It made so much sense to me. And I remember it was like, as those days were getting closer and closer, I felt like I was walking some like path of fire or something. Like I was just going through this dark night of the soul, trying to talk to Andrea and tell her to bring my baby safely into the world and that I'm ready and all of this. And then I finally get to that big day and she didn't come. And I was so upset. Like I remember I was just distraught. I was angry. I was like, what the hell? Like I thought like this would be the thing that heals everything, right? And of course, realizing that like this baby wants her own day. Like, and that day of death, which is so terrible and so horrible, and every year it comes, it like knocks the air out of me completely. Like, that day is so precious. That day is so important. That day is holy. And trying to make that day something else, like, wasn't going to take the pain away, you know. Trying to make that day go away was actually separating me more from the memory of her. And somehow, like, grief wants us to grieve, you know. We can't replace death with birth and then have birth take its place and then, you know, death doesn't happen anymore or death goes away. Like, it doesn't work that way. And I think in the last 2 weeks of my pregnancy with Leia, I healed more around the loss of my best friend than I did all the time that came before. Because it was really like I had to sit in the raw pain of it completely. And it shifted my perspective from this thing that this is something I fear, this is something I don't want to connect with, this is a day I don't want, to this is a day to revere. Like, it's always going to be a hard day, but it's also a day where I feel really close to her. It's a day when my heart is really open. You know, it's the day of the year I cry the most, always will be, for sure. And it's, I feel really grateful now that I didn't replace that day with something else, right? And that Leia's birthday isn't connected to a day of death. You know, like, now Leia has her own day and it's a day of pure celebration and it's only her own. There's those, she was born 3 days later, right? And it's just a really, yeah, it's a really strange thing, life. So yeah, I am like a slobbering mess here. I really, really am. Thank you for listening. I think I'm going to end the pod here just a little early today because, yeah, I need a moment to just be in silence and be with Dennis a little bit and then pick up Leia and break the news to her and we see where we go from there. But if you have four-legged friends at home, today is the day you hug them tighter than you normally do. And you give them extra treats. And you just appreciate the hell out of them, which I know you are. Like, no one here like has a dog that we take for granted. Like, it's impossible to take a dog for granted. I mean, they take up so much space in your heart. It's just, yeah. So just love on them a little bit extra. And for everyone who has been through this process already, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I'm also so happy that we chose to say yes that first moment, that we allowed them into our hearts, even though we knew on some level that hard time would come. Like, we still say yes, right? It's still worth it. It's still so, it's still everything. So all the dogs in the world, I love you. And I'll be back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.